existing barriers. B, if there are no further modifications, shall the village proceed with the budgeted permanent construction of the traffic control? Then it goes on to B, which I read at the beginning, which is future implementations of closed traffic notice in 1,000 feet. So I just wanted to make sure that you all heard those. If you need us to repeat any of those, I think, I'm assuming, are those on the website? Are they available? Do you know?
Yeah.
On the agenda. Part of it's at the end of the agenda. That's right. This is, I'm reading page 32 actually of the packet that we have, but I don't know. And now the one thing that sort of stood out to me, and there are many, but is number three, and that is this direction for the village board directing the staff and traffic engineering firm to collect traffic data counts at appropriate locations on Monroe William Division, part of the village-wide traffic study, to measure the effects of the current traffic. So we'll have discussion on this tonight, but at least the way I read that is that, as many of you know, the firm KLOA collected some data before the barriers went in that related to the northeast quadrant. Now there are some barriers that still exist. We made some modifications to allow some traffic to Lemoyne and Greenfield, but the barriers up on North Avenue still exist. And the way I read this, number three, is the Village Board expects there to be a traffic count with the barriers in place. Suggest to me that those barriers aren't going to come down immediately or as a result, that we need to have that count first. But, you know, that's how I read it. So I guess why don't I stop there and ask staff if you have any comments or any updated information.
Yeah, so the KLOA study, that was the Northeast study, that is done. However, as part of the village-wide study, which is ongoing at the moment, the village board had asked staff to make sure that we get those three counts in there, as Chairman Reese mentioned. So right now we're looking at Monroe and Lemoyne, William and Lemoyne, and William at Division as a current count to see what impact, if any, the barriers have made. So these three locations were selected by the current consultant, Thomas Engineering, who are doing the village-wide study. And they were, again, selected so that we could see what impacts were caused by the barriers that are in place. We were hoping to have them done ahead of this meeting. There were some issues with some sub-consultants. But at this point, we're pretty confident that it shouldn't be an issue to get those in place for the July meeting. So you all, as a group, will have those counts for the next meeting. Unfortunately, we just couldn't get them to you today.
Okay. And so, but turn it over to public comment. And you also note that in the materials, we have results of the village-wide survey, including, you know, detailed survey responses, including, you know, various comments about people's view of the barriers. So those are all part of the. So let me see if there are any preliminary comments from members of the commission, and then we'll turn it over for comment. And, you know, I think to me, one of the sort of open questions is tonight, mainly we want to hear from people who didn't have a chance to comment before, you know, if you comment on any or all one of the questions that were raised by the village board for us to consider, and we'll at least take information, and then we'll have to decide whether we make any recommendations. We need to wait for some of those counts to come in before we make any final. Any member of the commission would like to comment? Okay, so we have people who signed up. I'll start with the list in the order that people signed up, and then if there are others who want to address the commission, we would appreciate if you would take the lectern and use the microphone, because it is recorded, so we do want to try to capture what. So why don't we start with Bradley Schorser, S-H-O-R-S-E-R, 15. I'm sorry, Bradley Schorser, S-H-O-R-S-E-R, 19 Clinton Place. And the microphone and my...
You're good.
Got it. Okay. I guess a couple of issues. First is the fact that obviously I'm blind, and I travel with a seeing eye dog who's pretty smart. And as I and my wife Ellen have been living at 1519 Clinton for 30 years, and haven't had an issue traveling around. I do a lot of walking. A mile and a half, 2-3 miles, okay. And it was coming back from California where we spent the winter, all of a sudden these changes. And I can deal with change. Two issues. The first, dealing with the alley that's on Clinton, north of my house. And I, just an experience that I had. I was shopping at Capri, and on my way home from Capri, I got to the end of where the building was, where the alley started. And, you know, cars are very quiet today. Now, obviously, I don't see. And my hearing, though, is usually pretty good. In the rain, I probably would have heard, I assume it was an EV, coming down the alley. When I hit the little rise to let me know I was just about to step into the alley, the little whatever, round things, curb cut type, a car went whizzing by me, right? And the dog did a quick stop. Remember, the dog didn't see because the building comes right up to that those little bumps, okay, that telling you you're hitting the alley. So the building is there. Nothing we can do about that, but got to do something. The trap, hey, it's been there all the time over the 30 years that I've lived there, and I've never had an issue. But now it's seemingly, and I'm not a traffic advisor or agent or what have you, I don't know why, but it's seemingly there is much more traffic going down the alleys. And that is becoming a problem for me, and obviously the pooch, because whoever's driving doesn't see the dog either at that point in time. And so that was not a real good experience. The last issue that I want to talk about, believe it or not, this New Yorker doesn't have to be so verbose, is the stop sign, the removal of the stop sign instead of having a four-way stop. For 30 years, I traveled down and crossed that street. I guess, okay, I could be inconvenienced. I'll walk over to William, okay, and cross, you know, cross Clinton and walk over to William and make the cross over. My preference is not to do that, but neither here nor there. My preference is, why should I have trouble crossing a street where I live and have been living for 30 years with no problems at all? I didn't know when I came back from California that it was now not a four-way stop, but only a two-way stop. And I thought I heard something coming from my right, and I gave the dog the command to go forward. And he did take me into the street 3 paces and then did a quick stop because a car came zipping down, I guess, quick because they had a stop at Williams and there was no longer a stop going east at Clinton. So it's what can I say? That's my problem, is my lack of sight. The cars today are silent, so hearing them
is also sometimes difficult, right? Especially with, you know, the gardeners, the landscaping crews that are out there with lawnmowers and whatnot. It's difficult at times to hear them. It's much easier to have that stop sign at Clinton, four-way stop at Clinton. I can give the dog the command. He won't go if something is there. And if I've got the clearance, then I've got the clearance. And then someone sees me, usually, hopefully, they're not going to, you know, proceed through.
And let me interrupt you. Are you talking about a preference for a four-way stop at Clinton and
yes.
Lemoyne?
Yes. That's, okay. That's what I've lived with for 30 years and never had a problem. You've never heard me. You've never heard from me criticizing anything. I love River Forest, and it's easy to navigate around until now. The one comment I would have about the alley, is there a way, maybe the solution is having some type of signage saying, please honk, or something, or, you know, to let any pedestrians that they can't be seen either. Anyway,
Mr. Schwarzer, can I just want to be clear? Do you like the barriers or you don't like the barriers?
My preference is not to have the barrier. The barrier causes problems for Uber finding us, and many times they just give up and they say, "No, I'm not doing this." Okay. Last night we went to the symphony. Thank God somebody knew what they were doing. They lived in the area, so it wasn't an issue. But most of the time, that's not the case.
All right. Thank you. Yes, sure. There's another question for you.
Oh, sure. Ellen?
I did.
We
did. Okay.
Yep, I'm just going to, I just want to put a short leash on the dog.
Thank you. Ms. Ellen, would you like to speak?
Sure.
Ellen Schwarzer. Ellen Schwarzer's name address.
Thank you. Oh, all right. Thank you. Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm going to repeat some of what my husband said. We've lived here for over 30 years, actually. Never had any problem. We never saw too much traffic on our street, on Clinton Place. And I wonder who it is who was complaining about the traffic. I mean, we are glad that we live in an area like River Forest with the good schools, and the pleasant streets, and yet being close to commercial areas. We have the best of all worlds here. And I think that anyone who is bothered by the little bit of traffic, which even the traffic study had said is not excessive, that maybe those people should have moved out to the boonies, you know, to a far out suburb, not a suburb like this. At any rate, as my husband said, Uber drivers have trouble finding us now. I stopped driving about 8 years ago, and obviously my husband can't drive. And I have seen drivers make all sorts of crazy movements to get around that barricade at the top of Clinton Place. Also, I think that if this should become permanent, then on North Avenue, driving east, there would have to be a no right turn sign on North Avenue just before Clinton Place. And right now there are businesses there that need parking for their automobiles, for their customers. And I don't know how people would even notice the no right turn signs, to tell you the truth. And I don't know, I'm getting a little excited here, but we had no problem, and now we do. I don't understand, you know, why this had to happen, why it had to happen.
Thank you for your comments. As you're getting situated, next up we have Georgia and Constantine Zapolitis. And do I understand one of you? Okay.
Very brief. Thanks. Georgia and I own a home on the 1400 block of Ashland, and we own a commercial building at the corner of Clinton and North Avenue. Two quick comments. Please consider removing the barriers on Clinton. For the most part, they are ignored. People just blow through it, trucks, cars, et cetera. And when people are in observation of the fact that there is barrier there, it creates an even bigger problem, because then they're trying to, they turn down the street, they realize they can't turn in there. So now they're going to try to back either out onto North Avenue or into the alleyway or whatever. Comment number one. Comment number two, I agree 100% with Brad. Please put the stop signs back, the east-west stop signs at Clinton and Lemoyne. The traffic just flies through.
Restoring that to a four-way.
Please. I walk home. That's my route, walking home. The other night, there's a kid, 16, 17 years old, on a bike. There's a, you know, trying to make a left to go north on Clinton, and a driver in a BMW SUV comes just barreling around him. And I hailed an epitaph and was very upset. And then I looked at the kid and go, no, not you, not you. I'm not yelling at you. You were 100% right. They're 100% wrong. So that's it. Thank you for having the opportunity to speak.
All right. Thank you for your comments again. Dan Wasilek?
Yes.
At 1400 Bonnie Bray.
Dan Wasilek, 1400 Bonnie Bray, which is on Greenfield. I just want to mention that it is on Greenfield because Greenfield and Lemoyne are streets that need relief from traffic. They always have. They do. You know, to answer why these barriers need to go up, it's because the vast majority of people, some of which you'll hear from tonight, including myself, that live on Greenfield and Lemoyne are in favor of these traffic barriers. And the reason is, well, there's a lot of cut through traffic. It doesn't take a scientist to look at North Avenue in Harlem and realize this is the busiest intersection probably in the Midwest. It's crazy. It's a highway. It's 290. And if you can come up with another intersection that is as crowded as that, I'd love to hear it. And Route 83. Okay. Well, check it out. Go out there, count the cars. It's a parking lot. And of course, people are going to try to cut through. So if you do not have barriers such as the ones at Bonnie Bray and Clinton, and I would recommend extending that over to Monroe and William, you're going to have cut through traffic. If you remove those, then any kind of barrier you have, like currently on Greenfield and Lemoyne, is pretty much pointless. And I just want to say, you know, for what it's worth, I talked to every other suburb near us, protects its residents through safety barriers. Elmwood Park, to the south of us, Forest Park with Madison Avenue, Oak Park. In fact, it looks like Oak Park is trying to insulate or install maybe additional barriers now along Harlem on its side of Greenfield and Lemoyne. I've talked to the businesses along North Avenue on Oak Park and ask them if those barriers impact their business. They all say no. You can go and ask them unbiasedly. And some of those businesses have been there for decades. So to me, you mentioned a stop sign, maybe turning a two-way to a four-way stop sign at Greenfield and Bonnie Bray. I think that I would definitely be in favor of that, especially during Fenwick events, which is a whole nother topic, but I'll just leave that to the side for now. And I'll just say, I live on Greenfield, those that live on Greenfield and Lemoyne, it seems like the vast majority, we deal with this. And to us, I want my kids to be safe. I want my family to be safe. My 10-year-old daughter came home today and said there was a zooming car when she tried to cross a street with her bike. So living with it, yes, there's going to be people against it. Some of them might live a mile or 2 miles away, but we're living with it. And I would just say that, yes, it's a tough decision in the fact that not everyone's going to be happy with what's decided. That's just the way of life. But to me, it's a decision to make these barriers permanent, to make our neighborhood safe along Greenfield and Lemoyne, and add barriers to make it safer also along William and Monroe. And if it were me and I'm voting, I would sleep all night voting for that kind of safety.
Yeah. Sure. Dan, did you participate in the survey?
Yes.
I don't know that people have to tell us, I guess. I mean, but I suppose if you're willing to tell us that you participate in the survey, if you're not comfortable, you can just say you'd rather not say. Is that okay? Yeah, I understand. Dr. Nucifora?
Okay.
Don't have.
All right, so.
Would you give us your address, please? An address?
Oh, yes, 1415 Clinton Place.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't write it down. So, thank you for inviting me here to speak. However, I'm not here to list the problems that have been caused by the barriers. We all have read the responses in the survey, and we all know what the problems are. And, you know, I'm probably one of the very few people who read all the responses, and I made a table here. No, remove the barriers. Yes, make the barriers permanent and not clear otherwise. So remove the barriers, 133 answers out of 290, 45.86%. Make the barrier permanent, 51 answers, 17.59%. Not clear otherwise, 106 answers, 36.55%. And on this list, I also have, which I'm going to give you, each question so that any one of you can actually check that I didn't cheat, okay? But what I really want to point out here is that the ratio between remove the barriers and make the barriers permanent is almost 3-1. And this is interesting. Could you please pass this around, sir? And I believe this is interesting because the last time that we were here, there were 27 people speaking against the barrier and 9 speaking in favor, which again is 75% or 3-1. Anyway, this is all that I'm going to say about the problems of the barriers. I'm actually here to state that the barriers are illegitimate, because the resident who requested them did not follow the rules for submission of a request. And the rules are, 1, a written request must be submitted by the resident, clearly identifying the request being made. 2, a signature petition form must be submitted. It will need to include that 75% of properties within a notification area are in support of the request. If a petition does not indicate the required level of support, it will be returned to the petitioner and the item will not be placed on a future traffic and safety commission agenda. Upon submission of the requested forms, the issue may be referred to the village's transportation engineering consultant for study and general data collection. Finally, when the data collection phase has been completed, the transportation engineering consultant will provide the village staff with their finding and their recommendation. So from this, I can say that your own procedure was not followed. There were no written requests, no petition was circulated, and signed by 75% of residents in the notification area. And the recommendation of the Village Transportation Engineering Consultant, which was the KLOA, as we all know, were completely trashed. I'm here to ask you why the request was not returned immediately to the petitioner, and instead it was placed on a traffic and safety commission agenda, contrary to what you have said and published. Please, let me finish. And as a matter of fact, if the citizens speaking at the last meeting here 2 months ago are an indication of what the residents' response would have been, 75% are against the barrier. And this is also what the survey indicates. Now, these barriers were requested because a few residents complained of cut-through traffic at the corner of North and Harlem. Now, aside from the fact that according to the village own transportation engineering consultant, the traffic there is similar to that in other parts of the village, those residents who want the barrier should have known before buying their home that there is traffic at the junction of North and Harlem Avenue because these streets have been there forever. It is unreasonable for them to complain about cars moving or parked on their street that do not belong to the homeowners on the street because they themselves drive and park their cars in street other than the one where they live. The streets are public, not private. Anyone has the right to lawfully drive and park on any of them. Bottom line, if there is a problem, and according to KLOA and the Illinois Department of Transportation, there is no problem. But even if there were one, it existed long before these residents who complain moved to their home, and they should have checked where to buy a house. The truth is that the majority of residents, including myself, bought their home because of easy access to North and Harlem. They expected to maintain this easy access either for commuting to business or simply to commute to work or for business because they live there, their business is there, unless the village approves a valid petition that satisfies all the requirements and all the rules that have been set up by the village itself. So I frankly believe that we should not be here tonight discussing whether to support changes in our street that the village board and commissions, according to their own rules, should not have allowed to be approved in the first place. We should instead be out there to remove all the barriers without any discussion or compromise. And I'm here to ask you to do so. Then, if some residents want barriers, they have the right to proceed as this commission itself established, that is by collecting signatures and then follow the steps outlined by the commission, and that includes listening to and respecting the village transportation engineer consultant instead of rejecting its recommendation and without any qualification or experience in traffic situation, acting as if they were the village consultant, which they are not, but as they have been allowed to be. Let's be clear, the decision on this issue tonight or in the next meeting establishes a precedent. And if this precedent is a compromise, then for fairness, if or when a resident comes here to request a modification to their street without a valid petition, without a 75% support of the notification area, and against the recommendation of the village transportation consultant, he will expect that his request be honored and granted by the commission either in full or as a compromise, just as in this case. If the commission tonight or next time votes in favor of a compromise on the barrier and also states that this case is an exception and then from now on the rules will be strictly enforced, then I will ask the question, what is so special about the residents who want the barriers that makes them an exception? Are they better than those who don't want them? If they are allowed to completely ignore the rules set by the commission, but rules cannot be waived only for some residents. If they are waived for some, they must be waived for all. All residents are created equal, and no resident must be more equal than others. Unless there is an illegal compromise, then indeed some residents are more equal than others. And I ask you why. To conclude, the commission, the board members, and the residents, and we all know that the village allowed improper, arbitrary, illegitimate, and unjustified street modification that have angered most residents, decreased their safety, damaged their businesses, made more expensive in time and money to go to and from their home, compromised their trust in the village commission and board fairness, and left us all wondering why this was done. Because of the situation, these last few months have been painful not only for many residents, but also for the board and commission members. In my view, this can be fixed by removing everything that has been improperly placed on our street and by inviting the gentlemen who want changes to submit an appropriate request. And by always, always, without exception, enforcing the rules and the procedures that you guys and the village have established. Thank you.
Thank you. Your letter also was provided to the commission.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Kate Byrne. Kate, do you mind giving us your address?
My address is 1411 Clinton Place. I've lived in River Forest for over 30 years. I've raised three children here. They all went to the River Forest Oak Park schools, and I've never had a problem with any of the traffic. My house is on Clinton Place between Greenfield and Lemoyne. Never had a problem with any of the traffic. I'm having quite a problem now. And I also sympathize with my neighbors who live on William and Monroe. I know that they're also having problems. Long story short, I think that there was this procedure that was supposed to be followed. Clearly, it wasn't followed. There was a report that we paid to do that gave a recommendation, and there's been implementation of things that are contrary to the recommendations of this professional organization that we paid $16,500 to complete. And I'm anti-barrier. I thought that I don't like the triangles either. I really appreciate that you have made some type of compromise for us. But I really think the signs, when I picked up my kids from OPRF and I was going on Harlem North, I couldn't go left on Greenfield because there was a 4 to 6 cannot turn. Same thing in the morning. Always followed the rules, never had a problem. And, you know, we have children that live on the corner of Greenfield and Clinton Place. And the implementation of these barriers has just kind of caused havoc, especially on Clinton Place when people are trying to go out and get onto North Avenue. When my kids come over to visit me, they're like, Mom, I'm like, the Uber driver doesn't know how to get here, or we can't turn down this street or that street. I think it should be revoked in full. And all the words of Josephina and everybody else that is against.
Pat Berg, I have that right. Clinton.
Correct.
Berg is a B-E-R-G?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No comment on your handwriting.
Well, if you can.
It's only the B.
Yeah. And the other letters. Mine will be brief. I live on Clinton, and when I go to North Avenue, I go north on Clinton, and then I run into the barriers. And the last my two most recent trips, four cars showed up at the barrier at the same time, one from each alley, and then two people coming in, and everybody just sat there and looked at each other for a while, and then played musical cars, and then eventually got through. But the one that was most disturbing, and again, I understand that for some people, you know, it's how disturbed I am when I'm driving, but Some people think that if you put your flashers on, you can park anywhere you want. At least, definitely don't agree with that. I could not get past the barrier going north because someone was parked in the spot that said no parking from here on, and that where flashers were on, and I wasn't going to wait for them. So I turned around, went back, and went over to Williams, and because I turned left. I couldn't just go back to Lemoyne and turn left because then I would have run into the problem turning left on all the way down. So there's still the notion that it feels like I'm in the maze trying to just all greens and back. And I didn't have any perception that there was a problem until I came back from the airport one day, and there it was. And when we turned on the, there was a barrier there, and I would just go around it. Just, you know, I don't. It's there because there's a pile of leaves, and they couldn't. You know, and to find out that it was my permanent status. So I'm not against the barriers because I didn't perceive that there was a problem.
Bunny Parker, 1435, Clinton.
Hello, just a couple things. I just wanted to reiterate my opposition to the barriers, specifically Clinton, and I do appreciate the Lemoyne and Greenfield. I don't have an issue with the way they are right now. However, I would suggest that Commission suggests to the village board that they enforce them. You know, there's people still going straight across Harlem, I think is causing more of an issue because now you can't go around the people going straight. So traffic backs up, it's just causes more confusion. I would be in favor of putting the four-way stop back at Clinton and Lemoyne. And I would be in favor of a four-way stop at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield because it's not enforced. I know that's a two-way stop now, but nobody's stopping at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield. So southbound and turning. I did participate in the survey. And that's it. Thank you.
David Parker.
Thank you for your time and your service to the community. First of all, I am in favor of removing the barricades, and I am in favor of restoring the four-way stop at Clinton. And I have a concern, and if I understand what you talked about tonight, the addition to the traffic study that you cited earlier, concerned that that will address William Division and Monroe, but it won't pick up the traffic that's been pushed down the alleys. The alleys were not designed to take additional traffic, and yet by this change, we're pushing additional traffic down those alleys. It also doesn't seem to cover North Avenue. By having those barricades there, we've all seen this, traffic, people turn in, they get stuck, and the traffic backs up onto North Avenue. That creates a safety issue. It's our residents that are driving there as well as the people that are just going past our community. You know, we talked about not being adequately notified, the board not following the recommendation. There's still people going around the barricades. I won't go in this at length, but you know, the thing is about the alleys, that's my biggest concern. You know, you have a lot of people because there's apartment buildings along there, there's kids, there's people that are in situations where they're going in and out of their garages, then it's a blind situation, they can't see, and here's these cars zipping down the alley that wasn't designed for it. So thank you, and please reconsider.
Thank you. Monica Rania Zvunkotich. Close was I in your name?
Good. Very good.
1408 Bonnie Bray.
Yes. First, I'm in favor of putting the stop sign back at Lemoyne and Clinton, yeah, and also making it a four-way stop at Bonnie Bray and Greenfield. And there's many times I'll come down that way, coming home from work, going to make the left-hand turn onto Bonnie Bray, and some idiot behind me, I'm going too slow because there's traffic, there's people there, and they'll go directly around me. So we need to make that happen. I'm at 1408 Bonnie Bray. My business is at 7765 West North Avenue.
What about what intersection is that?
Park and Franklin.
Okay.
Which is, there is no right-hand turn if you're going east on North Avenue. So I kindly tell my patients if you're coming in, especially if they're new, to go down Thatcher, down to Ashland, and turn around and come in and park on those side streets if they don't want to park on North Avenue. I've got a very small parking lot, very, very small. So there's sometimes there's 2-3 spaces, but that's it. Change is hard. I know it's hard. But I'm in favor of keeping those mitigations in place. It's to help. It's to help the community. It's to help the children, people that live there. I moved to River Forest, not because of the traffic. I lived in a little village. And it wasn't, there was a lot of traffic, but a lot of gang activity. I moved to River Forest for the schools, for my children. That's why I did this. So please keep the mitigations the way they are. And thank you.
Thank you. Renee, is it Darmage? Yeah. 1446 Bonnie Bray.
Renee Hermes, 1446 Bonnie Bray, thank you very much. I just want to remind everyone that this entire initiative started right around COVID, when we were spending more time outdoors. And there was a near-miss accident that happened in my house, basically, when we got the basketball hoop. And because we're on Lemoyne, every time the ball goes to the street, we have to wait, make sure that there's no cars. Now, it was very disturbing to see this near-miss accident, especially because it was my child. We moved to the River Forest because of the safety, and unfortunately, I asked myself, is there not cut-through traffic? Or is it just me imagining this cut-through traffic where the North Avenue becomes narrow, and because of the sign on North and Harlem, it takes forever to become green as you drive through the city. You're always going to get some cut-through traffic. So when this happened, a lot of residents that live nearby, we started talking about it, and like very early into those conversations, everyone says, what's going on with all those cars? Why are we noticing more and more cars cutting through as this intersection becomes just more busier? So we got together with a bunch of similar minded residents, and we came to the traffic committee meeting. And then we were told that, oh, well, this has been an issue for a decade. This is not news. We always knew that northeast corner, something had to be done with it. So we said, great, we want to support everything so that we can. So now that we know that there is cut through, how can we make our streets safer for our children? So I have a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. I'd like to see more closures. The corner of North and Harlem is extremely busy. And for those who do not know, there's Rush Oak Park that's going to be opening right where the Sears was. So that's going to make it even busier intersection. So I really appreciate all the efforts that the traffic committee has done to start looking at the northeast corner in preparation for even a busier intersection. I would like to see full closure on Harlem and Lemoyne, as well as Greenfield, and also have full closure all throughout the corner. So the same way how there's a full closure on North and Bonnie Bray, there should at least be a full closure on Lemoyne and Harlem, because this is the corner of our village. And the cut-through traffic does exist. I actually cut through. Like, when I want to get to my house faster, and I'm waiting forever for the light, I try to cut through Fresh Time or just to get to my house faster. So the T-bone mitigations that are put in place, they're great. I think if they're not going to be tall enough, cars, they're going to be buried in snow during the winter time, and cars are going to run over them, and it's going to require a lot of maintenance from the village. It would have been great if it's a complete cul-de-sac. For the businesses on North Avenue, I just couldn't understand how the businesses are going to be affected, because the clients, they will continue to park their cars on the residential streets and walk to those offices. The barriers are for the cars, not for the people. They'll continue to be able to walk there. So this is basically all about safety. It's about reducing cut-through traffic. It's a very specific initiative. I'm a business owner. I'd like to accommodate a business owner's request, but not when it comes to the safety of my children. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Patricia Tolbert, 1406 Harlem.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for your time. I just want to start with, it is very frustrating to have to leave work early to come to debate how I should and should not be able to get home. I'm a resident that lived at 1406 North Harlem. I've lived there for 10 years. I raised a child there. She went to Oak Park River Forest. She currently serves in the Army for our country right now, so she is gone and away. I want to start with the poor notice that was provided to particularly the 1,400 and 1,500 residents on Harlem. As we know, those residents are directly impacted because Harlem is the busy street. So you only have already the alley for the access for us to get home, park. That's where we park every day. That's where our residents come in and enter, or visitors come in to visit us. So that was a direct insult to us, in the sense that we woke up one day and suddenly we could not exit or enter from Greenfield without even being notified. No mailers, no email, no text, no anything sent to us to be notified. The GPS was not updated. So, of course, with IDOT, as well as Uber deliveries, Lyft, any type of delivery service, there was confusion as well as missed deliveries. Uber refused to deliver. Lyft sometimes refuses to pick up. Took residents that are blessed to not need to use those services. Great kudos. However, we do know Lyft and Uber is a $1 billion industry, so that means there are a lot of people that are using those platforms for deliveries of services, delivery of food, as well as ride shares to and from the work, getting their kids back and forth to practices or whatever need be. Uber is becoming an issue because of the fact they don't know, when they're traveling northbound now, how to even access the residents that live on the 1400 and 1500 blocks of Harlem. the right turn only, which has been implemented as a change based off of the last meeting with Dr. Josephine, which thank you so much for at least considering and taking into consideration the complaints. But now you still have people that when they're traveling northbound, they don't know how to access you. So literally, I saw a young lady the other day having to cross Harlem to get to the other side of the street, the Oak Park side, where her driver was waiting for her. Of course, at Greenfield, there is ongoing traffic, so she had to now fight to battle to get across the street to be able to get into her ride because that driver has no idea how he's supposed to navigate to get to the Bonnie Bray block, per se, for Greenfield to pick her up. So it's a safety issue that has actually been created now that people cannot turn into our community from Greenfield. The loss of business, personally, I can speak for myself. I was a frequent visitor of the North Avenue and Harlem corridor. I don't go get my nails done there anymore. I don't go to that Dunkin' Donuts. I now venture out into Bensonville, Amherst facilities and areas to actually patronize those businesses now, just because it's becoming too much of a hassle to get northbound coming from my home. Something that took 5 minutes is now taking 15 minutes, and it is a true inconvenience. I do understand that I have heard that a part of the complaints from the people who are for the barriers is rush hour traffic cut through. I personally as well do cut through, so I am guilty of that as well. However, I don't define cutting through my neighborhood as a cut through. I cut through sometimes and stop at Fresh Time. I cut through sometimes and visit neighbors. I cut through sometimes, park, take a walk. I did not know that riding through your neighborhood was considered now negative of cut through for traffic. Also, as far as safety, I feel that there has been no specific data or stats provided that actually supports the safety issue when it comes to kids, pedestrians, or bikes. I have not seen any actual numbers that support an increase in accidents or safety issues where there have actually been people who have died from vehicular homicides or any of that nature to actually support an active, concrete argument as to safety. Safety for children, unfortunately, is a responsibility of the parent. Parents have to watch their kids. Your children should not be just wandering aimlessly near curbs and near traffic without you watching them. So I don't feel like cutting off the traffic for people coming throughout the neighborhood or visiting residents or trying to get home should be where they're penalized because you would like your child to aimlessly run unattended down the street. That's not what kids' safety means to me. A lot of the residents, of course, outside of the 1400 and 1500 block of Harlem have backyards. That is not a privilege for the people that are on Harlem for their kids to be able to run out onto Harlem and play ball, their ball run in the street, et cetera. So now we have forced all of that traffic to those alleys where now post-barrier, there are accidents happening. I had a visitor about 2 weeks ago experience an accident coming out of that alley right off of Bonnie Bray where the Shell gas station is. That is not a do not enter there. So people are now basically using that Greenfield and Lemoyne entrance in a sense into our community as the alley now. That has become the left turn, how you get into River Forest from Harlem. So that wasn't well thought out to basically push all of that traffic where kids are constantly playing and running throughout that alley as well as receiving visitors, et cetera. For me, when we say safety as far as criminals avoid legal matters in the sense of if there is a sign there that says do not enter and I am a criminal for a reason. So I'm not worried about that sign saying do not enter. If I am fleeing the police, I am fleeing the police. No sign, no barricade, no anything is going to stop a criminal from trying to get away from the police. So I just feel like unless there's some crime channel that happens on an exclusive network that I'm unaware of, I did not know that crime was a huge issue within the River Forest community, which is why I am still a 10-year resident. I am all for compromise in people's arguments if their opinions make sense. It just doesn't seem that, unfortunately, their vote as far as the surveys, yes, I did take it. As Dr. Josephine stated, it is more toward the people that are against the barriers than those that are for it. I don't feel that we should have to continuously keep coming to argue a point that was basically implemented against the KLOA and IDOT recommendations. So I honestly feel like it should be reversed. And if we want to now re-argue this, then we should argue it appropriately and according to the laws of our community. I also want to just say nearing the end that police presence would perhaps be a suggestion. I know personally you have communities that you go through and you don't see or you don't experience excessive speeding because they know the police presence is there. Me personally, if I travel to work and I take the Stone Park, which is North Avenue and Manheim, it's 25th area, I automatically consciously become aware I'm entering Stone Park. Why? Because I know police in Stone Park do not play about speeding. It doesn't matter if you're going 2 miles an hour over. They are pulling you over. They are issuing tickets. I just don't know or see any data that supports our actual police presence having a lot of speeding tickets, having a lot of pullovers, warnings being issued in regards to people who are speeding. I would also like to say that speeding is a action that we as residents are often guilty of ourselves. Since the barricades have been put up, I, of course, take Division to William Turn, come down Greenfield. I am watching cars speed down Greenfield, and they're not going all the way to Harlem and making rights. They're making left down the other blocks, which makes me believe those are residents, because for you to be within that area since the barricades have been put up, the only reason you would already be on Greenfield or on Lemoyne is because you somehow turned within the community and you're turning to go home. So the speeding that some of our residents are complaining about, we're guilty of that within our own community. We need to slow down, not blame outside people for all of our issues, because some of them are definitely home-based. I am in suggestion and support of speed bumps or stop signs. If we would like to put up stop signs at every corner intersection, I am all for it to support people slowing down, being conscious of kids, pedestrians, bicycle riders. But I do not feel that it's fair for us to basically inconvenience and isolate the northeast corner when the large and majority amount of those residents are against the barriers. So please notate that I am against the barriers and ask for them to be removed. Thank you.
Thank you. Charles Anderson at 1402 Clinton Place.
Hi, thanks. Again, 1402 Clinton Place. My kids have grown up out of the house and things of that nature. Our house entrance faces Greenfield, and you've heard a lot of issues, but it seems to be with those in support of removing everything, there seems to be a common theme of inconvenience. So here we are addressing the Traffic and Inconvenience Committee tonight versus the Traffic and Safety. The member just mentioned about safety. She hasn't made any body counts on the newspaper, read anything. That's the whole point of implementing safety measures, to avoid. Whose child is it going to be to pay the consequence so that one of you will be satisfied that it is a safety issue? Other people have mentioned that they've been here for decades, 30, 40 years, and people shouldn't have moved here if it were the traffic issues. Well, the world spins. Things are constantly changing. Things are constantly evolving. You don't put your head in the sand and avoid change that's taking place in front of you. I've witnessed cars speeding by, and as we're suggesting, the cut through that goes from North Avenue eastbound and then traffic turns onto Harlem southbound is that issue. The current barriers that you have or restrictions do nothing for that. What you currently have is what you had in the past was a sign with those certain amount of hours from Harlem and so forth. That's all we have right now. Based on that modification, we need to implement these full measures. And again, I'll reiterate to the Traffic and Safety Committee, this is about safety. What I'm asking the Safety and Traffic and Safety Committee is to govern. What I'm asking the Village Board to do is to govern. And what I mean by that, when you generally have two opposing forces, and again, this is not to point out my neighbors, because these are my fellow neighbors who I love and I respect. We may just have a difference of opinion, and everyone has an opportunity to voice that. But when you have these two groups in a community voicing their views, and believe me, the opposition believes as much as the ones in favor of, you who are in these positions of governance, I ask, when you have these things, you generally make a choice on the conservative side. Not the one because there's, as one other member brought up, well, there's, you know, 46% of people who didn't want it. Well, if you talk about the substance of those arguments, 89 to 90% of those arguments are about inconvenience. People talk about Uber. I'm an Uber user. And yes, it's an inconvenience for them, but it is what it is. If this is about promoting safety, which I think from the get-go, over 2 years ago, we have started this process. 2 years ago, and up until recently, the people who eventually got involved, now they have a good point about communicating these changes and so forth, want to go ahead and change everything. After a two-year process, we have complied with all the procedures that were set forth in front of us and come here every meeting, every time it was held. And all these people, whether you're in for the barriers or not, are taking time out of their busy day, out of their work schedule, raising their kids or what have you. You are in position of governance. You know, you can't always just take your finger and see where the wind is blowing. You're not traffic and inconvenience committee. You're traffic and safety. I know you know your job. I'm just pleading you to just govern. That's all we're asking. And always make the error on the conservative side. I work in an industry that is safety is paramount. Whenever you mention a safety issue, everything drops. Pens, pencils drop, and they listen. And they don't go in there and start counting numbers, because with safety, you can't. Because I don't want to see any of my neighbor's children pay the consequence for that oversight. We're talking about an issue of life. I see young children just walking about innocently on their bikes, crossing the streets. And these are small kids. I got children just literally across the street from me. I watch them from my window where they go halfway to the street and they realize the traffic is coming. And this traffic that we're talking about, we're not talking about residential traffic. The vast majority of these people who are the cut through are those that are outside the community. I moved from upstate New York for this community for one reason, for everything it represents. If I wanted to live on Ashland and Woodfield, I would have done that. Talk to them and see what they're dealing with. People have also mentioned it's not inclusive. These are all emotional factors that you can't tangibly measure. What you can measure is the effects that this barrier will do in the amount of traffic and promoting in the concept of safety. So again, I am in full accord with having full implementation of full closures at Greenfield and Harlem and Lemoyne and Harlem. And then regarding the concerns about alley traffic, you don't go ahead and turn away from the obvious, which is the street tonnage that's going by. And remember, another member just mentioned it, that you're going to have new construction of the Rush Hospital where Sears was. I just drove a couple days ago, and the blockage on eastbound North Avenue traffic went be almost all the way as far back as Lathrop. And you don't think they're going to be sensitized to go ahead and make that cut through so they can get southbound on Harlem? That's what we're talking about. And this is not this. We're not creating reinventing the wheel here. Look at Galewood. Look at Oak Park. Look at Forest Park. They're all implementing the same measures, and it's because they are constantly changing the environment. You have to adapt to it. For those people who are promoting signage, you forget it's a two-pronged measure. One is signage, the other one is enforcement. Our own local village police chief said he doesn't have the manpower to enforce signage. People have made comments how people are speeding and just passing stop signs. You think a four-way stop sign is going to change anything? Or the statistical measure of probability? Are you willing to have your child prove that to be true or not? Whose child is it that's going to risk it? You really want to put your child for the sake of your ideology or your thought or your theory or your pride? God help you then. But again, my children are growing up, but I'm seeing the change constantly around us, and that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for governance. and to make the decision on a conservative side towards safety. Thank you. That's all I got.
Robert? Alice? No one, Bonnie Bray.
Hi, I'm Bob Aramalis. I'm 1501 Bonnie Bray. Jeff, didn't we, the stop sign at Clinton and
Okay. Just let him make his comment.
Jeff is our engineer. Jeff, to clear the air, wasn't the four-way stop sign at Clinton and Lemoyne, wasn't that implemented a couple of years ago? Because I think we did that.
Hold on. I'm going to answer his question. Are you talking about when it was originally implemented? Because I don't know that.
I thought we were at this meeting because I think it was open coming from Clint from North Avenue. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I'll look it up. Are you going to continue to interrupt?
If no one else got answers from the, what is the relationship?
Here, get up and talk.
A lot of us would like to know about.
Really?
If any resident has a question and we can answer it, we'll answer it. And the question that, well, okay. It, and the,
Mr. Chairman, I think you need
second.
To have some
it's,
order
it's
in
it's a little
here.
Difficult sometimes to tell.
You're going
to
ask for order?
Okay. Listen.
What is going on?
We've let everyone make their remarks. We're going to let Mr. I mispronounced your name. Excuse me. In the context, if someone has a question that we can answer, we're going to answer the question. I'm sorry. I took many of Dr. Nucci Porter's questions as being rhetorical, but those questions can be answered too. Those can be answered too. But we're going to. This is a basic question that relates to when the stop sign was a four-way stop previously. It relates to the question the board has asked us to consider. It's a fair question. It's a question if we can answer, we'll try to answer. Okay, listen, you had your chance to speak. Now we're going through and you're just going to prolong it by interrupting people. So what we'd like to do is treat everyone civilly, let everyone say their piece. And please just let each person talk without interruption, please.
Okay. Can I go? Basically, I would be in favor of re-implementing the stop sign, the four-way there. I think we implemented that in the last couple of years. I also think one is needed at Bonnie Gray and Greenfield, as well as a full speed sign there. Or park speed sign for 20 miles an hour. I don't know why that's not marked for full speed sign or on Lemoyne in front of St. Vincent. It was not 20 miles an hour. Why our neighborhood doesn't get 20 mile an hour stop sign or speed limit signs for schools. Also want to say the alleys. I live on the alley, Bonnie Gray and 1500 block, and there's been, that thing's a mess. It's always been a mess. There's not a stop sign there. There's not a stop sign on the 1400 block. 110 cars parked on each block. I counted them walking the dog. Probably one of the busiest thoroughfares in River Forest, and nothing on there. There's been cut through traffic going through those alleys since the day I moved in, so not new. I'll read the rest of this. I want to say River Forest is an incorporated community. residents. We depend on the community for protection we individually cannot achieve. Whether it's flood control, emergency services, or other reasons, we support each other's needs despite our individual needs being different. For example, since my house doesn't flood, that doesn't mean I don't respect the municipal needs of others who do. After all, we are a community. We support each other. This is not a free-for-all. As residents, I think we can all say we contribute, pay substantial taxes, and expect to have a quiet, safe environment. After all, safety is the most basic function a community can provide. Just bottom there. Safety is not about who shows up for meetings or a popularity contest. It's our inalienable right. Core value of River Forest, it's mentioned over and over in our literature. This Traffic and Safety Commission, not the Convenience Commission. Commissioners, we do not have a safe environment on Greenfield, Lemoyne, and our 1500 blocks. Denial of cut-through, but the cut-through problem in North River Forest is simply not credible. The annual total vehicle passages extrapolated from the KLOA count are staggering for streets with 20 houses, and it's likely an undercount. I'm going to read these numbers because I think people forget this. Lemoyne, 512,000 passages annually. Greenfield, 548,000 annually. Bonnie Bray, 228,000 annually. Clinton, 175,000 annually. Williams, 284,000 annually. Monroe, 435,000 annually. Those 1,500 blocks have 20 homes. Add bad pass-through behavior, 80,000-pound tractor-trailer rigs, often with hazardous cargo. I've sent pictures of them with gasoline, full of antifreeze, business and event parking, and we don't have a safe environment. Since the village has rejected the comprehensive proposal offered by our anti-cut-through group to shut Greenfield and Lemoyne, what has happened is to apply half measures that are not working. Cars are still pouring through, especially from the west. Current configuration is ineffective because it's enforcement dependent. Mistakenly assumes cut through is only left turn inbound, and most of all, does nothing for west to east cut through traffic. The reality is cut through affect the whole north side. North Avenue is frequently solid in both directions. Frustrated drivers turn in wherever they can get off, and a solution must include what our neighbors group has been asking for 2 years, remedy for cut through Thatcher to Bonnie Bray, alley cut through and lack of signage in them, truck ordinance and signage, event and business parking, school park speed limit signs on Lemoyne and Greenfield. The last thing residents need is an ineffective piecemeal solution cemented in. Perhaps it is best to leave the temporary in place, hire professionals, and unlike the KLOA study, task them with eliminating a defined percentage of cut-through traffic. Walls to protect residents are not a new science. Babylon, Rome, Constantinople all had walls, surely designed by professionals. We need this solved and cut the argument. I'm tired of coming to meetings just to get basic protection. The solution is about safety, not convenience, but we do understand inconvenience with limits. Commissioners, we ask you to respectfully question with reason claims of miles of detour, unsubstantiated claims of increased cut-through in alleys where alleys have always been a problem with cut-through or where blocked alleys are. question neighbors who ask at board meetings to end police enforcement in front of victimized residents' homes and then show up here and tell you that, oh, mitigation doesn't work. No kidding. Know that claims of lost businesses are meaningless without 3 years of financials. I own a business. Somebody claims that you're losing business. Let me see. Question, who does the traffic planning in River Forest if we concede to Google routing? Mission or Google? There's no value in cut-through traffic. I'm treated like cancer, it only gets bad, worse with catastrophic results. Stopping this is just not in the interest in a few activists on either side who have the luxury to come to meetings, because a lot of people can't, they got kids. It's in the whole village's interest, if only for the street enforcement and enforcement outlay. Do it for the town. This is not controversial. Please step up the plate. Do what every other municipality in the region has done for 30 years. Stand up and be counted as anti-cut through. Do the right thing and protect endangered residents. I know it's tough. There's pushback because change is hard. Restore the closures on Harlem. Have scheduled mitigation meetings for alley control, truck ordinance, parking restriction, school signage, and improving our pass-through armor on William, Monroe, Ashland, and Harlem. Jackson, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Jill McMahon at 7329 West North.
That's a lot to follow there. Those last few comments regarding the cut through traffic and that these cars, we can tell that they're not from River Forest. I would just like to ask, how can we tell that they're not from River Forest? How can we tell that these cars that are coming through are coming from outside the village and don't belong here? It's a public street, and you know, cars are driving legally on these roads. They could be coming from one side of the village to the other side of the village. It is a driver using a road. Yes. So I think the problem is speeding. The problem isn't cutting through. The problem isn't using roads for what they're meant to be used for. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous to think that all these cars are trying to miss the light at North and Harlem. I mean, first of all, it doesn't get narrower there. Right as you get past Clinton, it actually opens up. So if you wanted to turn right, it's very easy to get right up to the light. It gets wider there. So it doesn't make any sense to say that this is all about cutting through. It's about speeding. Safety is about speeding. It's about drivers that aren't paying attention. And it's about people that are rushing down and they're in a hurry and, you know, they're not focused on what they're doing. They're distracted by other things. Let's focus on trying to slow things down, but cutting off all our roads and building a wall around the town is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, is going to affect businesses. It is going to affect all sorts of, you know, issues in the town. It's ridiculous to say that just because they're going fast, they must not be from River Forest. because I'm sorry, there are lots of people from River Forest that drive fast too. Let's maybe work on like finding a solution to the actual problem, which is speeding against the barriers.
Thank you. Pete Economos, 1439 Clinton.
I really don't have a lot of comments to make, but I wanted to ask, if we're talking about speeding, have you ever considered putting in speed bumps? Put them along Lemoyne and Greenfield, in those areas from William or even as far as Monroe, in between the blocks, and they would be temporary. I mean, you could asphalt them and see if that alleviates the problem. I know it's something that's never been done in River Forest, and it's like
speed bumps.
Taboo.
Speed bumps have been something that have come up, you know, fairly regularly. It is something that we've resisted. We've resisted for various reasons, but the one large reason is, you know, objections from Public Works. But, you know,
I get that. I'm not prejudging.
I sort of sense myself some inevitability that.
We're kind of establishing that the problem is speed.
There's no doubt that there are various ways to mitigate speed, and. And, you know, I think some of the comments are, and I think a fair point is that, you know, I think it's considered, for example, that a stop sign is not the best way to mitigate speed. If your issue is speed, mitigate speed. If your issue is something else, cut through traffic, there are other ways to mitigate cut through traffic. So, you know, it is important that you identify the problem and then try to identify the fix that is geared to try to address that problem. So, yeah, but there are various speed control
methods. I understand from a public works standpoint with the snow plowing and that with the speed bumps, but it seems like the easiest answer. That's what everybody's talking about, is everybody going fast. And that's the surest way to stop it. You know, that could be something you could try on a temporary basis to see how that works. Because having people up here who are pro-barrier, anti-barrier, what a surprise. Each one of them has anecdotal evidence in their favor about supporting their position. And, you know, we really need to, I think the barriers are wrong. I appreciate the fact that you opened up Harlem Avenue. I really think that was wrong. It was Harlem, or Lemoyne and Greenfield. You talked about you were going to do like a car count. Since the barrier's in, is there a baseline that was done before so you have an idea of what, like, the car count was prior to that? Because
there was a KLOA study that did count. Now, you know, people have criticized that study. It's also done during the pandemic, but there is a count, and I think those numbers are in the KLOA study, right?
Yeah, I don't know that they were done at those same exact locations. The idea was to get those exact locations now because those were perceived to be where any increase in traffic would have been routed.
Well, it would be kind of hard to make that determination if you don't have the information from when the barriers weren't there about what the buildup in traffic was during that time.
It's fair to say that the data we have is probably imperfect, but we have what we have. You know, we have a data set from before from KLOA, such as it is, you know, where they counted, and then there's an intention to count now with the current barriers in place. You know, there's going to be room to pick at it because they're not going to be exactly the same under the exact same conditions, but it's going to be what we have.
Then it's impossible to say that there was an actual increase or decrease in anything.
You can, whether it is impossible or not, you can argue from the data, but those will be data points that we have. There are a couple people on the phone. Were any of the people that are on Zoom intending to speak? How about, are there other people that are here who haven't had a chance to speak previously?
This is Drew Arnold. I'm on the Zoom call.
Can you give us your name again and your address, please?
Yeah, of course. My name is Drew Arnold. I live at 1431 Clinton Place. And I just wanted to echo everything that has been said about the removal of the barricades, the putting back the four-way stop sign at Clinton and Lemoyne. We did complete the survey. And I think there's a lot of good points about putting like the speed of cars driving around. I have two kids myself, 6 and 3 years old. And it is noticeable that you see cars speeding through by that Clinton and Lemoyne location where the cars are driving really fast. I mean, I think there was a lot of good ideas in terms of like the speed bumps and additional stop signs. So, but yeah, that's all I really had to say.
All right. Thank you. How about, are there other people on the phone that were on Zoom that wanted to address the commission?
Yeah, this is Gary Northrup. Can you hear me all right?
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Gary. Go ahead.
Great. First of all, 434 Clinton Place. I'm actually down at Clinton and Lake. So in terms of objectivity, I don't actually have a direct dog in this fight, if you will. But I have three businesses I use up there, Dr. Jill, Dr. Politis, and Cassidy Tire. And I also, quite honestly, don't want to see the neighborhood, you know, penalized for, you know, I completed the survey and I asked questions or I pointed out things that could be addressed that haven't been addressed with regard to the North Avenue Harlem intersection. And none of those have been addressed. And we're winding up considering penalizing our citizenry, our villagers, for issues that are caused by that intersection for which they under which they have no control. And I think that's wrong fundamentally. So I'm disappointed that the commission has not addressed any of the issues that I pointed out in the survey that I completed. So I can go through those quickly if you like.
It hit the highlights. Go ahead.
Well, the first is, I thought of this. I listened to the March 15, audio version of the meeting. I hadn't been able to attend, but I listened to that and completed the survey and read the Wednesday Journal report and all the rest. And three things occurred to me right away. One is the right turn lane as you go east on North Avenue going into Oak Park should be right turn only. It is not. Because once you get into Oak Park, it dead ends and you've got to merge. That creates a bottleneck. So make that right. You got to work with IDOT on this. These are two state routes. So you've got to work with IDOT on these. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, eliminate the parking on North Avenue. There's no reason to be parallel parking on North Avenue. Allow people to park on the side streets to go to the businesses. We don't want to discourage our businesses. Okay. That we are really short of commercial businesses in River Forest, and we need more businesses. So if we discourage, you know, Dr. Jill, Politis, and the others all on North Avenue and that whole corridor area, you know, we're hurting ourselves. Number three, think about whether or not, work with IDOT and see whether or not we can eliminate the median that starts from, I want to say, Clinton Place and goes to the corner. I'm sure there's a reason, it's to prevent left turns. But if we can eliminate the median somehow and still provide the appropriate restrictions, that provides more cut through, more traffic flow. And in, you know, somebody mentioned the new, Oak Park Rush Hospital coming up, that facility going in there, that'll be like the Sears facility in years gone by. So that's going to create more traffic. So we've got to accommodate for that and work with Oak Park and Elmwood Park and River Fork and Galewood on that. So those are my comments. I believe we need the commission to include all of those issues, address the issue at the corner. Cut through to me is not just eliminating the corner. That's corner avoidance. To me, if I think about cut through, I go from Bonnie Bray all the way down, following along through the neighborhood to avoid Harlem Avenue. I go all the way down to Lake Street. I do that routinely, but then I live in the neighborhood. So that's my view of cut through. It's not actually avoiding the corner. So those are my comments. Did you hear my comments?